Welcome back to the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. I'm Jake Skorheim. I am the host of Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. You guys can listen to me there every night from 7 to 10 p.m. I hope you check it out. John and Sherry are off today. I'm sitting beside Spike O'Neill from the Jack and Spike Show. Spike, welcome back to the 4 o'clock hour.
This is a thrill, my friend. I'm having a ball.
It's been a long day for you.
Nah, it's not. I don't do real work.
Noon to 7 is not a big deal. No, you're right.
No, come on. I'm not putting railroad ties in place. I'm not putting up drywall.
Think about how easy this job is. We just hang out with people we like. And we just chat and we just drink coffee all day.
Free coffee.
Just free good coffee.
I mean, talk about things we're interested in.
Talk about things we're interested in.
The American dream.
It's not bad. Not bad. All right. Speaking of things we're interested in, we're going to pull a little audible because we just got some audio in on this. Have you guys heard about this L.A. heist that happened over Easter weekend? There is a cash vault. And I think this is like one of those places where you see those Brinks trucks. You see those different money hauling trucks drive around.
Sure.
Then they store it at this place. It's called Garda World. It's in Los Angeles. And there was this massive heist over Easter week. I think it was actually on Easter.
Easter Sunday
was the heist. And
guy dressed as a bunny showed up. They let him in. I'm kidding.
Somehow he got past security. No, but they got away with $30 million, which is massive. I don't know what it is about heists. All other types of crime I hate, I despise.
Yeah.
But there is just something about a heist where I just go like, there's a little Robin Hood mentality to that.
Especially when they get away with it.
Especially when they get away with it. Like, do you remember in the movie, what was it? Not Goodfellas. Yeah, it's Goodfellas.
The airport heist. Yeah, they're bringing
in
money. You betcha.
And they're bringing in money and they we got this thing. And it's an inside man who hands them a key. And then they go and they get away with like $7 million or something crazy.
Walked out, suitcase in hand.
The exact same kind of deal here. So in L.A., all the local news agencies are covering this. We got a little bit of that here.
Burglars have gotten away with tens of millions of dollars in what's being called one of Los Angeles's largest cash heists in history. Sources say the LAPD and FBI are investigating the Easter Sunday theft at a money storage facility in the neighborhood of Sylmar in the San Fernando Valley. The brazen burglars were able to breach the building by entering through the roof to gain access to the vault without setting off alarms. The company that owns the building not realizing the crime until Monday morning. The facility handles and stores cash from businesses across the region. It's not the first time in recent memory California has seen a brazen heist. In 2022, $100 million in jewels were stolen from this Brinks tractor trailer at a remote rest stop north of LA in what could be the largest jewelry heist in U.S. history. But in terms of cold, hard cash, this heist on Sunday appears more similar to a 1997 heist at the Dunbar Armored Facility in Los Angeles. $18 million was stolen in a robbery. Adjusted for inflation, it would top $35 million today.
So far, no suspects in the Easter Sunday heist. Authorities say the sophistication of the operation indicates a burglary crew of some kind is responsible.
All right, so the FBI and the LAPD are looking into this right now. They're saying they're still trying to piece together how the burglars got onto the roof, how they breached the roof. So much money was being held here. I would assume that they had some pretty good security systems set up, but none of those went off. And they somehow got in, they got the money, and then they like got out a hole in the wall. I don't know how they got out a hole in the wall.
And took $30 million in cash, which is not a small thing.
$30 million in cash. They did talk to one of the workers there. This guy actually sounds really funny. he wanted to remain anonymous for many reasons, probably because he doesn't sound like he's the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm going to play some audio from him. And if this was the kind, I don't know if this guy works security. I don't know that.
Uh-huh.
But if he is a security worker there, then I can understand why they just got ripped off.
I didn't even know there was $30 million, whatever the amount is.
$30 million.
It's just a shocker. Waking up and showing up and finding out that, I can't even say this, like, it's just unfathomable.
Yep.
I don't know how to say it, but.
No, you don't.
It's just mind-blowing that you would never suspect it. $30 million in the valley, gone. The place is pretty secured. Alarm system, they check to make sure that the alarm is set up. So, you know, just to think that they were able to go through the security system and get away with all that money.
Did you talk to this guy? Or is this from the news?
Was it an inside job?
Wow.
Was it just one person? Was it a group? You know, it's a lot of questions. There's a lot of variables to it.
They're punking this guy. I mean, this could be the worst live witness ever put on the news. No,
I like him. We should call him up, actually. We should get him on the show. I'm going to get him on the show, actually.
You ever see the movie Office Space?
Yeah, of course.
Is it Dwight, the next door neighbor? That's who you reminded me of.
Yeah.
Hello, man.
Yeah, you're totally right. Yeah.
Hey, Peter, man. Channel 9.
Right? Pretty good security, except the part where people can climb on the roof and cut through. That missed that hole in the security net.
So how do you feel about somebody who would steal $30 million? I mean, it's a brazen heist. They're going to go away for a long time.
Smarter than me. Put some thought into it.
Yeah.
Had a crew, probably eclectic characters. You know, you had a high-tech guy, you had a demolitions. I mean, it's an Ocean's 11 going
totally,
on.
Totally, yeah. No, right? there's a bunch of different positions.
How
yeah.
appropriate it happened in Hollywood.
That's great.
Where else? I mean, you know, first off, who in their right mind puts that much of anything in one place? You know, $30 million in baby formula stolen. Why put it all in one place?
I would imagine they probably didn't think that anybody knew there was $30 million in cash there.
Right.
And so...
So you think it's an inside job?
Well, it suggests to me that it's an inside job. I just don't know how somebody pulls something like that off.
I mean, where all these armored trucks keep going in there for some reason? I mean, even this guy out there, witness, he didn't notice there are armored trucks going in every day.
He works there. This guy works there. He didn't know there was armored trucks going in. He's like,
he didn't know there was $30 million in there.
Yeah. He can't be that dim, though. He's probably they fell for my evil plan again.
I'm wondering what they're going to, I don't know, are these guys already like long gone? I mean, you get $30 million, they're in Europe somewhere already. They're just gone. They're not going to find them.
They'll start by every employee that works there, this guy included, they will get like, you know, interrogated to the nines.
The FBI will be up there.
Yeah, and then they'll find out who was connected to it. And then if they were smart, they'd be long gone. But
what's so funny about this is I've worked in Hollywood. I've worked in L.A. a little bit. And I guarantee you every single person who heard the story who works down there, they were like, oh, going to start my script on the L.A. heist for $30 million. Yeah, crazy story. So we'll keep you guys up to date.
Which makes you kind of root for them
a little bit. Yeah.
What is that about heist, though, that we're just root? Because why do I root for that, but
it's
I don't root for somebody who steals a car?
It's the movies. It's like Heat and all these other ones. You're just like, oh, there's so much that goes into it.
Or the
Ocean's
Heist.
11, yeah.
Have you seen the Edward Norton and Robert De Niro movie? I think it's called The Heist.
Yeah. What's the best heist movie of all time? I'll give you my vote.
Okay, what is it?
Inside Man.
Oh, yes.
Right?
So good.
Is that with Jodie Foster?
Yes.
Denzel Jodie Foster. Yes. Yeah. That's a fantastic
amazing.
Movie.
Right?
Spike Lee, right? Yep. Didn't Spike Lee direct that?
Spike Lee joint, you bet, man. And it's a brilliant plan.
It's brilliant, and it's not like any of his other movies. I mean, he went a little bit outside of his normal, but it's fantastic. So good.
Brilliant, great cast, brilliant movie, brilliantly written. But that's why we love stories like this. Like Joe said, victimless crime, nobody got hurt. Honestly, and they was probably insured, so those people deserve to get knocked down. Your point about being a Robin Hood vibe, that's why we love heist stuff.
Until, if I'll play devil's advocate for a second, we learn about who these people are, and then we see, oh, they've all got these like past records, they actually had to kill a security guard. So, I mean, I don't know that about these people.
No, I hear you, right. Yeah, right. They're not likable.
Like if somebody got in their way, and they're stealing $30 million, if somebody got in their way, they probably wouldn't stop from hurting that person.
Right, and they don't all look like George Clooney and Brad Pitt,
yeah.
right?
And if they did, then I think we'd be okay with
it.
But they probably look like us, and so that's not
they all look like John Leguizamo, all of them.
All right, let's move along here to, we were going to talk about this first. We ended up talking about the cash heist thing. What do you guys, MTA in New York, I believe that stands for the Metro Transit Authority.
It does.
They're actually demanding, have you guys ever been in a marathon? Have you ever run in a marathon or like St. Patty's Day dash or anything like that?
I have actually, but you'd never know it from my shape today, but I've done two Portland marathons and a couple dashes down the road. Yeah.
A full-on marathon, 26.2 miles.
Yep.
What?
How long did you train for something like that?
I was a thinner, slimmer spike then.
How long did you train?
It was probably good 15, 6 months, a good 6-7 months.
What was your time?
I didn't competitively run it.
It wasn't like a time.
I'd stop and I'd walk for a piece. I'd run some more. I finished both of them.
Yeah.
My
this is a quick side story, but like what I find amazing is when people do get into this kind of stuff, you can get really good at it really fast, like just like running and all. Right. I mean, like some people have an aptitude for it, but my sister-in-law, she started running. I don't know if she was super athletic as a child or not. I don't know. I assume she would be just based on where the story ends. But she started running like 5Ks. Somebody was like, hey, you should run a 5K with me. So she did. And then she's like, hey, I'm going to try. Because it's always like, you just like.
You build up a little bit more.
And then somebody's like, hey, you should try a half marathon. So she did. And then she's like, I'm going to try a full marathon. Then she starts running marathons all the time. Then she's like, I'm going to train for an Ironman. And now she runs Ironman.
Seriously?
Now she's like, that's insane.
That's crazy.
And she's finishing them. She's timed runs and amazing.
Was there a physical motivation? I mean, a lot of people get into that because I got to make a change in my life.
I got a health issue or something.
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
Interesting.
No, it's just like, want to try something new and just totally threw herself at it. So good job. All right, but the MTA, back to our story. The MTA is demanding that the New York City Marathon, the New York City Marathon runs across the Narrows Bridge in New York.
Yeah. Is that the Brooklyn Bridge? Which bridge is it? I'm not sure where they go. I've never been to New York.
I don't know. It's not the Brooklyn Bridge. It's the Narrows Bridge. Okay. Which might be the Brooklyn Bridge. I don't know. I don't know New York that well.
Oh, yeah.
But they run across it, and apparently the Narrows Bridge has an upper level and a lower level. Okay. And when they run across it, they completely block traffic.
Yeah, they shut the bridge down.
This takes a couple hours.
Did the same thing when I did the Portland Marathon. They do it when the Seattle Marathon will shut down 99.
Yes.
Or the express lanes of the Viaduct. Yeah. I-5.
Sure. So what New York is doing now, what the MTA is asking now of this New York City Marathon, they're saying, hey, you know what? Like, we're shutting down this bridge, which collects a lot of tolls. Like, during the time when you guys are running, we're normally collecting almost $1 million in tolls. It's like a really heavily used bridge. So what they're saying is, when you guys run across this bridge, which we're just like kind of giving you at a bargain basement price, we actually want you to pay for the complete lost tolls that we're getting right now. Like, we're not making money. It's our job to make money. The citizens of New York are paying for the bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
So we want $750,000 during the time when you run this marathon. Now, right now, the New York City Marathon pays about $150,000. They've just agreed to up that to $200,000 to cross the bridge.
Okay, they rent it.
They rent it, essentially. They get it blocked out. But now the MTA is saying, well, that doesn't even nearly cover the cost of the money that we're losing. And so they're kind of demanding this now. Do you think this is fair for the MTA to demand this of the marathon runners?
I didn't initially. I thought, you know, come on, it's the marathon. But the New York City Marathon generates nearly $500 million a year.
Does it really?
It generates $425 million each year for the city of Seattle.
Wow, that's pretty. New York. For
the Big Apple. We're the big fish or whatever we call it. Emerald City. it generates a lot of money. Now, it doesn't put $425 million in its pocket. It generates, when you talk about bringing that kind of money into town, it's restaurants, it's hotels, it's tourism centered around the marathon itself.
Yeah.
The city, it shouldn't cost the city money to help out this organization, do good things, to bring money into the city. I mean, the MTA's got a budget too, and they're working on thinner margins. Everybody is. I think you at least cover the money lost.
The New York City Marathon organizers kind of responded to this, and they said, well, the MTA is actually making this additional money because they are bringing in a lot of spectators. And so more people are riding the subways, more people are riding the trains.
That's a fair argument.
They're making an additional $1.1 million that day of ridership that they wouldn't otherwise get. Mm-hmm. And so they're saying, why don't you just take some of that money and count it towards our use of the bridge? They've also now reached out to the governor of New York, and they're saying, hey, the MTA is trying to basically like demand all this money from us. Can you step in here and solve this problem? But right now, they're still letting them work it out. And I think they should make the marathon runners pay. If these are lost tolls, if they did this here in Seattle, I hate when people block the roads here in Seattle. Right, I'm not choosing to run a marathon that day. So if I'm a marathon runner, I understand why they would want this. But like in Seattle, if somebody blocks the road, like when all those protesters blocked I-5,
yeah.
I'm not part of that protest, but I am stuck in traffic.
You're impacted by it, yeah.
That would anger me. Like I wasn't in that traffic jam. But if I was, I would have been even more upset than I am now.
This isn't an easy one to figure out. If the MTA is making more money than they would have without the marathon, it seems kind of hard to ask for even more money. But yeah, I think they should get it.
Yeah, but the
marathon compromise is in order.
Yeah, somewhere
like, right in the middle.
They tried to compromise. The MTA said, "All right, we're going to give you the upper level or the lower level, but you can't have both." And the marathon runner said, "Well, we want both because that's what we've always had." And
does the volume dictate both?
Well, they say it's going to slow the marathon down because they're all going to have to bottleneck in one lane.
And that's a time issue, and some people run these marathons four competitive times.
Yeah.
You know, or it's a safety issue where you try to cram all these, you know, size 10 people into a size 7 shoe. Something's going to happen.
What I don't like is these runners who are shoving it in our faces that they're so healthy and they're trying to tell us that they're going to, I mean, they're not us. We're not in New York, but people like this. You know what I'm talking about. There's people like this out there.
Sure.
I see them on the road every day when I drive in downtown. A lot of these are bikers. I see a lot of bikers get very upset when there's cars trying to do what cars have to do.
Yeah.
Bikers get very upset.
I can't stand a biker doing 20 mile an hour in a 45 zone.
That makes no sense.
I don't dig it at all.
And what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to just wait for the biker to go 10 miles an hour?
Give 3 feet, man.
But then are you ever allowed to pass them?
I do.
Good job. As you should.
I'll swing over the yellow line and pass. I'll cut a wide berth around a runner.
Yeah, no, you don't want to be unsafe with the bikers, but like they need to speed up, which is why I like electric bikes a lot because they can move the speed of traffic, and they should be moving the speed of traffic. All right, so we all agree that the MTA should make them pay.
Get some money back.
Yeah, get some money back. Yeah. to the John and Sherry Show. Again, John and Sherry out today. Jake Skorheim from Kyra Nice, that's myself, and Spike O'Neill from Jack and Spike filling in.
Pleasure to be here, my friend.
Spike, what was it like when you first, you and your wife have been married for a long time, is that right?
33 years this December.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, that's a that's it an was accomplishment
better.
These days.
It was better. What was it like when we first got married? It was better.
It was better.
Better than now.
No, that's not the question. That's
oh,
not
I'm
the
sorry,
question.
My mistake.
No, I take it back and don't say that. No, there's this interesting article out. I think this was actually started as some Redditor posted this question. Is that right, Joe? Some Redditor posted this question.
Yeah, got picked up by BuzzFeed.
Got picked up by a bunch of sites, and then people started like chiming in and adding all their personal experiences. Basically, what you have here is husbands or people who are moving in with women for the first time, guys who basically have no idea how women actually live in their normal lives. And I was just wondering, based on this article, if you have experienced any of these. And I can read a few of these to kind of get the ball rolling if you want to hear some of these.
I'm sure the audience would benefit. I learned early in life about female roommates. When I was a teenager, I was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland, and we would spend all of our summers at the ocean, Ocean City, Maryland, about 3 hours away from Baltimore.
Right.
We'd go to a summer rental. My first summer rental was with three other guys in a beach apartment.
Is this kind of like Jersey Shore?
A little bit like that.
All right.
Well, when you're renting with three other guys, you find two things are always the case. Well, three things. Nobody does a dish.
True.
People would rather throw things away than wash them.
Paper plates.
Yeah, but we didn't have money for paper plates. They just left dirty dishes in for the entirety of the summer.
Classy.
Two, your clothes look good on other people. Hmm. Guys would come home and take your clothes out. Hey, that's my shirt. Those are my shorts. What are you doing? I had to go to work and didn't have any clean clothes. I said, well, now I don't need clothes. The third is there's never any toilet paper in the house with guys.
Yeah.
When you rent with guys. So from the second summer on, and for the entirety of my days, I never lived with guys again. I always lived with girls. From my second summer through I did six summers at the beach, always all female roommates.
So what was that experience? Was it surprising to you? Did you expect, so your first experience with guys.
Horrific and filthy.
Not great.
Yeah.
So your experience with girls, you're probably going into it thinking, well, this is just going to be great. We're going to have tea every day.
It's going to be great. Well, there's always toilet paper. They don't wear my clothes, and they know how to do dishes. You learn the fact that there's not a flat surface in the house that doesn't have a curling iron on it or mm-hmm. makeup everywhere because there were multiple girls in just one bathroom. There was makeup everywhere in this. But girls are better roommates, I guess, than guys. For the people who like fall in love and then move in together, I can't imagine what a horrific experience that is. Because when Melissa and I moved in together, when we first started dating, about 6 months when we decided to move in together, just for economic reasons, made a lot of sense.
Sure.
I knew what I was getting into. And some of the things listed in this article bear out to be true to this day. I've been married 33 years. Wife comes home first, she does take the bra off.
Oh,
first
really?
First thing through the door.
Yeah, that's one of the things that people say.
It's like taking the handcuffs off of these ladies.
So some of these, here's a few of the things that people suggested on Reddit. They said, similarly to cats, they naturally gravitate to the warmest parts of the house. It might be the cozy chair, heated blanket, or the bed section I was just lying in. I'm honestly unsure if she loves me or just my excess body heat. I think that one's really true.
Very true.
Here's another thing that I was totally unprepared for. Every single time that I sit down on the couch with my wife to watch a show, uh-huh. inevitably she will end up laying down, her feet will end up in my hands,
yep.
and she wants me to rub her feet.
Sure.
She will get under a blanket, so I'm just sitting there giving a foot massage, which mm-hmm. leads to nowhere often, and then she falls asleep.
You're about to have your fourth kid, apparently.
Yeah, at least somewhere. Yeah, no, at least somewhere. Yeah, for sure. At least sometimes. Yeah. Can't lead somewhere all the time. But she falls asleep almost. I mean, but it's that warm. They're always seeking warmth, mm-hmm. just yep. like a cat.
Yeah.
Is that the same for you guys? You have the same experience, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. She's constantly, wherever my space is, she wants to infringe upon it and to make herself the most comfortable, and usually me the least, but it's okay.
But that doesn't matter as much, yeah.
Yeah, I find that we've drifted away from that. Initially, we were like that, but now we appreciate and revel in our own space.
Sure.
Melissa and I do.
We're going to talk about that in just a second.
Yeah.
You've heard of a thing called sleep divorce.
Save my marriage.
Okay, we'll talk about that in just a second. Here's another few of these. The fact that they take showers with boiling water. They never finish their drinks. I find two cups of half-drunken coffee scattered around the house
both
multiple times a week
yep.
until we run out of coffee cups. Four used coffee cups with spoons on a tray, one cup with leftover coffee. Speaking of the shower, the thing that I was confused about when I first got married, my wife and I moved in together. Before I got married, I don't think I ever unclogged a drain once in my life.
Oh, dude.
Because I have always just had short hair and it was mm-hmm. never an issue.
Yeah.
And then once I got married, I realized that this is a weekly thing that I need to do.
Oh, yeah. We've got, like, the harsh chemicals, the little snake that goes down there.
Yes. There's a couple different kinds of snakes that I could show you when we're off air. Exactly. Because I do this on a wife and two daughters in my house.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I'm an apprentice plumber for all the hair. I could build my own second female from the hair I've grown, pulled from the drains.
That's disgusting. That's a frightening thought. Just a hair doll.
And the amount of lotions and potions in the bathroom that I had a bar of soap, worked on every inch of my body, top to bottom, inside and out. A bar of soap. And when it got small, I get a new one.
Sure.
She's got 28 bottles in there. She's got different conditioners for early in the week and later in the week.
Do you guys find, like, another thing that I am constantly doing, do you guys, whenever you are driving in a car that your wife has driven in, does she throw all of her stuff? Like, I have never utilized the side thing on the door. I don't even know what it's called.
The side pocket.
Yeah. Every time my wife gets out of a car, it's just full. I didn't realize she was snacking so much. I don't know what she's pregnant right now, so she's snacking a lot. But she looks great, sweetie.
Nice save.
But the door always has, like, water bottles. Yeah. It's got, like, any trash that accumulates in the car, she just shoves there and just waits till I clean it out. Like, she's never cleaning it out.
It's a mobile trash can.
Ferry receipts, straw wrappers.
Everything.
You name it, it's in that side pocket.
Starbucks cups, right, everything there. Shoved into that thing right there.
Same thing in my house.
All right, let's move on really fast to this other thing. So I found this really fascinating. The Wall Street Journal just did this story about this couple who said that they were struggling in their marriage because they both have very different sleep habits. Mm-hmm. So she is a really, delicate sleeper who basically sleeps like a butterfly. And anytime there's any movement in the house, she's awake instantly.
Yeah.
He sleeps like a lumberjack and he snores crazy all night.
Exactly.
She's 5 feet one. He's 6 foot six. They just spread out differently as they're sleeping. And so they said what they decided to do was they built a little loft in their bedroom so that they could still be in the same bedroom, but they have different sleeping spaces. And so I don't know if the Wall Street Journal coined this term or if this is something that other people have been using, but they call this a sleep divorce. Mm-hmm. And so what people do is during the day, they live happy marriages and they get along great and everything goes fine. But at night, when they go to sleep, they sleep in different rooms. And apparently this gives them better sleep and then it makes them better during the day. And this is something that you've experienced.
Well, I did morning radio for 25 years, which meant I had to go to bed at like 9 o'clock and get up at 3:30. And that's when I got a big night's sleep, was 6 hours. My wife couldn't be in that room. She can't go to, we can't go to bed at the same time. And if I get up at 3:30 in the morning, I wake her up. She's up the rest of the morning. She can't get back to sleep.
Yeah, which is a night of sleep.
Right. So we call it a sleeperation. We don't call it sleep divorce. Divorce is just an ugly word to even play with.
Just never put divorce
in anything, right? Exactly. But we've lived better, slept better, been happier having separate bedrooms.
So you guys sleep in totally separate bedrooms.
Totally separate, because I am like the lumberjack you mentioned earlier.
So still to this day, even though you have an afternoon show.
Yeah. Because we just got in the habit of it. I'm a restless sleeper. I flop and turn, and she is...
All right, let me ask you this question.
And you're a snorer, too, right?
I snore like a beast, man. Yeah.
Let me ask you this question, then, because this article goes into something. It's a little personal, and if this is TMI, then you don't have... That's too much information for old people out there.
Yeah.
Us kids say TMI, super young. Thank you, Andrew. This article talks about sex lives.
Yeah.
And so they say this couple at least claims that this does not affect them negatively when it comes to, their sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Is that something that's an issue, or do you guys have a third bedroom where you meet up, like a middle zone?
We go out to rental places. We like to have sex in VRBOs exclusively. I'm kidding. But I'll tell you what it does
actually
do.
Actually kind of fun.
When you have, role play, right?
Yeah.
Who ordered the pizza?
TMI.
when you have separate rooms, when somebody cuddles in, it's like, hey, all right.
Yeah.
It's
like Lucy and Ricky shoving the beds together.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. For all you young people, that's our old
person.
Not a lot
of mystery. Usually when a wife crawls into bed, you're like, all right. She's like, no, not all right.
I've never heard it like that.
She shows up, she means
business.
I've
never heard it like that. Again, I got four kids. So.
Yeah, it's a bonus, sounds like.
It is. It's nice. I love when
and
I
then
wake
you
up,
go back. I mean, this
yeah,
again,
yeah,
this is
yeah,
too
yeah.
much of a.
Well,
then you go back to your separate.
If you need
rooms.
To, and often Melissa will come in and we'll fall asleep, and I'll get up, and she's long gone. I snored, woke her up. She went and went to her room, got a good night's sleep.
Sitting, again, TMI, but don't you feel like if you're not holding on, you're not like cuddling and...
That goes away after time, too.
Does
there
it?
Have been nights I'd rather chew my arm off than have somebody lay on top of my arm.
Yeah.
My lovely, the truly unpleasant Mrs. O'Neill.
Well, you've been married for 33 years, right?
It works.
Right?
We found a way to work.
So it works. Yeah. All right. Well, good for you. Welcome back to the John and Sherry Show. Jake Skorheim filling in. with Spike O'Neill. John and Sherry are out today. They will be back another day.
They're both doing better things than we are.
Yeah.
Even on their days off.
No, we're just I don't know. I think we're doing pretty good.
Well, I'm not saying we're not doing bad, but I mean, Sherry's helping her family.
Yeah. Oh, John's, you mean
helping,
like in life?
John's helping,
like,
raise money for a worthwhile cause, and we're just sitting here yakking and BSing.
No, I mean, they're helping a limited number of people, though. Like, you and I, we're actually, like, talking
to
a lot of people.
Thousands and thousands.
A lot of people right now. So like it's about the greater good. All right. Have you been to Vegas recently, Spike?
Jack. You know, I've been to Vegas to visit a friend who lives there. I don't go to Vegas to do the Vegas thing. You know, I don't go for shows. I'm not a gambler.
So you haven't seen the Sphere yet in Vegas?
I haven't seen the Sphere. But
you've seen videos of it.
Thousands of videos of it. Thousands of U2 clips. And now there was a Dead and Company were there, right, for a little residency.
They're going to be starting next month. I'm going to see them in July.
U2 opened it up, right?
Yeah.
Have you been? Have you seen the Sphere yet?
I haven't seen it in person, no.
It looks crazy.
Incredible.
It's phenomenal.
Like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the reason we're talking about Vegas right now is apparently robots are taking over Vegas. They're everywhere. Not only are they serving food, like, you guys have seen those, like, carts that will come out of the kitchen, they'll deliver your food to you.
I have seen that in various places locally.
Yes. Yeah. But they're, like, apparently, like, Vegas is adopting all these things, like a lot. You can also go to bartenders, like robot bartenders in Vegas, which sounds really cool, actually, because you could probably get it really fast. You just, like, and they make the perfect drink every single time. We have some audio on this, I think. Let me play you a little bit of this.
Hello, Andrea, with the really cool phone case.
There's a lot of technology and AI and actual robots that are being part of entertainment and hospitality industries in Las Vegas. The robots that I just stood and watched over and over again, I couldn't pull myself away, were the bartenders. It's like performance art. Vegas is an interesting place. It's an experimental place because they have such a diversity of people, of tourists coming. It's kind of a fun landscape of experimental technologies.
What do robots do better than humans?
While humans are indeed our superior when it comes to emotion.
I'm going to pause it there real fast. I feel like the robot is always trained to say that just to make the human feel better. I don't believe robots believe that.
No, I don't know.
Well, maybe now, but the evolution is coming.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think very quickly.
Skynet's going to go sentient.
I'm not even joking right now.
I'm not either. I'm with you.
Yeah, no, I think AI is scary stuff.
It really is.
Emotional intelligence. Having an AI assist in data analysis can vastly increase the productivity of humans.
I feel like the more practical side of it is really going to grow. The more frivolous, whimsical, we might see it here and there. I'm not sure if it's going to stick. Robotics, we will see them more frequently. They definitely are moving in. They're invading.
You know what's so weird about robots and AI and all that kind of stuff? I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff. And I imagine in Vegas, there'll be some, like, seedier parts of robot stuff, the AI robot things that are going to take up very quickly in Vegas and be very successful. But, like, just in my house, do you guys use, like, Alexa or anything like that in your houses?
Not once.
You don't use those?
Not ever.
Okay, and you've avoided them on purpose,
On purpose, yeah.
Yeah. Why is that? Why do you avoid them?
My phone listens enough. The last thing I want is something listening to everything we say, flooding me with ads.
Yeah.
Letting the police know when she's hit me again. I'm kidding. I kid.
Boy, but he's got a lot of nice things to say about his wife today.
This is how we stay married. I spit it out here at work and don't say it at home.
Oh, you're right.
Self-defense. Now, I don't want to be intruded upon, but I want machines there when I need them.
Yes.
Not letting me know I need them.
Yeah, like you want a blender when you want to blend something.
Yeah.
You don't want the blender to, like, constantly be chasing after you, like, let me blend something.
That's what's coming with this
stuff. Do you use home devices, Joe?
I've got one of the little Alexa pod things, the, like, hockey puck size thing. I don't use it very often, to be honest with you.
We have this screen thing. I don't know why we got it. We just keep getting whatever the new Alexa thing is, we keep getting. And I wish we wouldn't have it. But my kids... It's amazing how quickly they took to it. Now they'll go over and they'll ask her questions all the time. They'll be like, hey, what the what? You know, they're like, show me a picture of Star Wars. And they just are asking her questions. And then the other day, that one of them was like, Alexa, I love you. And then she said, and then she'll sing you a song. Like, if you're at home right now, you want to try this. Tell Alexa that you love her. She will then sing you a song back about thank you for saying that you love me. And she'll, like, know your name. She started calling my kids by their names. I don't even know how she knew their names.
Wow.
And I'm not even kidding right now.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Isn't that so strange? She probably asked them at some point. They probably told her. And they're having these separate little relationships.
Where does your dad keep his credit cards?
Yeah. Does your dad have a firearm in the house? Scary stuff. Yeah. I don't like it.